Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. One of the things I loved most when I played football in college was the strategy. Now, to the untrained eye, the clashing and smashing of huge, sweaty men play after play into piles may not look like it requires much strategy, but I can assure you that it does. You've all seen those chalkboard diagrams, right, either in your own locker rooms or on TV or in the movies with the X's and the O's and the little lines spinning off in every direction. Well, believe it or not, those convoluted designs actually hold the key to all 11 people on the field knowing exactly what to do and who to do it to on any given play. They are proof that football is the most team-oriented sport out there because every X and O at every single position has a very specific job to do on each and every play, and if even one of those 11 does not do their job, the play is a failure and the team loses. I played fullback. That was my position. It meant that sometimes I got to run the ball, sometimes I got to catch the ball, but most of the time I was blocking, which means I was trying to move one of the defenders out of the way. I remember one time in my freshman year when all these diagrams were still a bit of a jumble in my head, and I was standing in the huddle and I heard the play call, and I remember thinking, shoot, what do I do on this play? I said, block right. I took a guess. Block left would have been the right guess. And the defender runs off and he's like, whoa, no one's here to block me. And he just tackles the ball carrier in the backfield to no gain. And everyone starts yelling, don't you know your plays? You're letting the team down. I didn't make that mistake again. I made other mistakes, but I didn't make that mistake again. The fun, though, comes when all 11 people are doing their job and everything clicks into place and the play breaks into the open field and it results in a touchdown. If you've ever wondered why it seems like every single player on offense runs all the way into the end zone when someone scores, even if it's all the way down the field, it's because every single one of those people had a role to play in making that happen. And when that happens, it's actually quite beautiful. In its sweaty, grunty way. And it's a whole lot of fun. And it's too bad that it could cost you your brain later in life, as we have now learned. If football had been around when the letter to the Ephesians was being written, I think the author would have used it as one of the metaphors when he keeps trying to explain the way in which the body of Christ functions. The past few weeks, we've gotten some really good stuff from the letter to the Ephesians, and I hope you've been paying attention, and this week is no different. This week, the goal is to get us to, quote, lead a life worthy of the calling to which we have been called. But in order to do that, we need to know what it is we have been called to do. And so he continues, each of us were given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. In other words, everyone has been given a position to play. A position that suits your particular talents and abilities. Are you good at throwing? You could be the quarterback. Are you good at catching? You could be the wide receiver. Are you good at nothing? You can be the fullback. And the goal, the purpose of this team is to, quote, equip the saints. And that's us. That's each and every one of us, not dead holy people. Equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And that is the church. And when we do that, it is as though the whole team is joined and knit together so that when it's working properly, it promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. We've all been around teams that don't function like this, right? Teams that are not joined and knit together, where everyone is finger-pointing and backstabbing. Kind of like the early days of the Israelites wandering around in the desert complaining. And that doesn't work for anyone. But I hope at some point in our lives we have had the experience of being on a team, it doesn't have to be a sports team, where things ran smoothly, where everyone had a job to do, everyone did it, and where each member of the team was valued and was essential to the flourishing of the group. It's an important model to have in mind because that second kind of team is what the body of Christ, the church, is supposed to be like. Although, truth be told, we're often more like the first kind of team, sowing the seeds of our own destruction through our division and discord. Sometimes, well, I should say, given the description of this teamwork that is necessary to build up the body of Christ, I think the question then becomes, as it often is, what position do you play? What position do you play at church? Are you a teacher? Are you a singer? Are you an organizer? Are you a visitor? Are you a volunteer? Are you a baker? Are you a reader? Are you a preacher? What is your position at church? What job is it that you and you alone can contribute to the building up of God's kingdom in this place? While you're pondering that, let me dispel the thought that you actually don't have anything to contribute to the church, that you can be a person in the pews and that's about all. Coming to church is good. Contributing at church is even better, because you have been given gifts that are unique and valuable to this community. Do you know what those gifts are? That's the first question. And then, are you willing to offer them? That's the next question. We need you and all that you have to offer to this place. We are less than what we could be if you keep your gifts to yourself. Sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that we come to church to get something. And that's true. We come to get inspiration and hope and strength and faith and comfort and friendship and peace. But getting something is only half a reason to come to church. It's only half a reason to be a part of a community. The other half of that reason is to give something. One of the interesting things about the metaphor of the church as the body of Christ is that that means that none of us alone can attain to what Ephesians calls the full stature of Christ. Alone, we are too human for that. But together, if we pool our gifts, then we can begin to attain to that height. Then we can maybe, possibly, a little bit, actually be the body of Christ in the world. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. There is no I in team. These are phrases that we have come up with to try to articulate the truth that applies in the church as much as it does on the gridiron, that if we are ever going to accomplish our goals, if we are ever going to accomplish the work of Jesus Christ in this world, we won't do that work as individuals. We'll do it together, as a team, as the body of Christ joined together in love and sending that love out into the world. And each and every one of us has an essential job to play on that team. We have our position. Bring your gifts to bear on the life of this community. Offer them to the work of Christ in this place. Come to give of yourself and not just get for yourself. Because when that happens, when play after play and day after day, all of us are doing our jobs to the utmost of our abilities for the good of the team, that is when we win. That is when we are victorious. So join us. Give of yourself. And we shall be the body of Christ in this world. Amen.